Sun headlines.
Bruce Cassidy happy that they're headed to the postseason despite yesterday's 4-2 loss to the Panthers that lost them the top seed in the East. Coach?
It doesn't seem like things are necessarily super organic and flowing and natural in her golf game and golf swing sometimes, but...
What the hell's going on?
I'll have that one, please, Jim. Take away.
I wasn't playing it. Jim wasn't playing it.
What are you watching over there?
I'm trying to listen to Bruce Cassidy talk
natural
about...
Natural and what?
Playing the postseason.
That sounded like dirty golf talk.
Coach?
Well, personally, I it's our goal every year. We did it last year.
I'm so confused.
I mean, you did almost say, instead of seed, you almost said speed.
Re-tease
you got golf on the brain.
I don't know what's going on.
Thursday, Maple Leafs postseason starts.
Eat a computer.
All right, since we were talking about the Masters, let's hear from Patrick Reed, who... won the green jacket yesterday. He had two putts on 18 to seal the victory.
And he hates his parents.
And I just kept on reminding myself, I've made a million of these putts before, you know, in practice and, you know, in other tournaments when, you know, even when a tournament's not on the line, I've made a million three-footers in my life. So, you know, you can do it again.
He sounds like Tiger. What was that in the background?
That's a little crowd cheer in the background. Anyway, Jordan Spieth had a final round 64.
It's our studio audience cheering for Hardy playing the correct clip.
He finished third. Ricky Fowler one stroke back. Red Sox over the Rays 8-7 yesterday. Yankees come to town tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors, New England's top choice for electrical contractors. With over 30 locations and mobile app, they have everything you need. Needco.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Upside three for Gordon. Hayward is good. Good.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Noontime hour, 617-779-0985, the telephone number for you. Why don't we start off this hour with a call from Ricky, who's in Plymouth today. What's up, Ricky?
Ricky!
How's it going, guys? How are you doing?
Are you Ricky with a Y?
Yes, sir, Ricky with a Y.
Okay.
A few quick things. The whole coverage with the Masters and people being upset, not seeing all their favorite golfers and checking on everybody else other than Patrick Reed. Get the app. Get the Masters app, dude. You can see a lot of the putts. You can see a lot. You can click on a lot of the plays. You can see a lot of the made. It's a few minutes delay, but it's a pretty cool app. And with the Bruins,
thanks.
I feel like everything's fine. Everything's going to work out. Everything's absolutely fine. I'm glad we got second. And let them rest, and they'll be good.
All right, Ricky. He's telling you to get the app.
Beef. I don't set that reminder like 367 days from now. Download that app.
You can download it right now.
We've had it.
You can have it.
We've talked about how.
No, on your phone.
It.
So yesterday during all of your travels.
No, I listened to it on radio.
Trials and tribulations of Zoe's Sunday, you could have the Masters with you wherever you went.
I'd like to have this question answered.
Oh, boy. Here comes the bell.
We like our friends at Westwood One. You know, Howie Denaroff and the whole crew and. You know, a lot of guys. I see Boomer all the time on Monday nights and going to talk to him, blah, blah, blah. So I'm listening to Masters coverage. Bob Papa, who does the play-by-play for the New York Giants, was doing the Masters on the radio. Now, do you take Bob Papa and place him at Augusta? He's obviously not walking the course. You would think he'd be at some Command Central where you have the Masters app or you put it up on a computer. Hardy had everything up in here. We were watching every single shot.
Sure.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He probably just stayed in like New York City at Command Central, wherever the TVs are, or Westwood One, and probably called it from there. That's doable, right? Or does he have to be on location? I mean, he would be on location in like a trailer.
Well, he's not. He's at the 18th green.
Oh, bam.
Yeah. He's in the tower at 18 is where Bob Papa calls it.
So he's like anchoring it like Nance then, but from the radio standpoint.
This is the 14th year that Bob Papa has called the Masters.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Didn't know. We couldn't tell his voice at all. But I could tell if he was calling a football game.
They also have...
Like, I could tell Soucy was calling
other individuals stationed throughout the course.
That they throw to.
That he... Yeah. Similar to what you get on TV.
Yes.
You see him. Where they go to other play-by-play announcers.
Yep.
On the course.
You see him walking around like at the Deutsche Bank or the Dell Technologies, the Sirius XM on-course people. There are headsets and mic flags and whatnot.
Mark Carnival is one of them.
Yep.
Brian Katrick.
All right.
Maureen Maddle.
She's good.
Kevin Kugler.
Love him.
Whit Watson.
Whit.
Ted Emmerich.
Doc's nephew?
Maybe.
Rose started the day 3 off the lead, has this birdie putt to get to 6 under and a share of the lead. Eyes the line, brings the putter back. Ball on its way. Does it have the pace to hold the line? It does. Justin Rose pours in the birdie here at 18.
There you go. That's what it sounds like.
That was last year's Masters.
He sounds like Bob Ross. Sitting here, a little bunny.
Well, you're close. You're on the trail. You got to be quiet.
You got a little bunny path going down, trucking. Nice little tree poking out, and a little creek coming through.
Mm-hmm. Share of the lead.
So, what was your point about all this again?
It is. I don't know. It's tough listening to golf on the radio.
Golf on the radio is tough. It's a tough game.
It's brutal. I didn't know where the ball was, where they're hitting from. How about second cut a little bit? I'm just going to play a draw here. I understand you're tracking the scores and you're giving updates.
Now, you're talking about combining two of my favorite things in radio and golf, and I find it...
Yeah, it doesn't work on golf.
I find it oddly soothing, but more than anything else, like, you can listen to...
You're going to fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, you can listen to a ball game. I'll listen to you and Soucy on occasion. You know, it's week 5. It's not a particularly compelling game. I got to run to Lowe's some point before the night's over.
You know what?
I'll leave... Toward the end of the second quarter here and listen to you guys, and I'm fine. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. You listen to golf on the radio, and all it makes you want to do is watch it. If it's a tournament important enough to be listening in on the radio, you just want to get home and watch it.
I see you guys texting, and you're like, oh, crap. That damn speech coming back. Now we know Zoe didn't either.
Because he couldn't handle it on the radio.
Oh.
Couldn't hack listening to that. Couldn't do it.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, it's tough listen.
That's why the caller, Ricky from Plymouth, told you to get the app and watch on your phone.
Oh, use a lot of data. But
and to tie the course record with a 63, Spieth steadies his feet, ties the line, brings the putter back, ball on its way toward the hole. He missed it left. He cannot believe that did not turn to the right.
Of course he can't believe it because he's Jordan Spieth. So let's talk about Spieth. Let's talk about Jordan Spieth. Perfect transition.
Oh.
18, the shot on 18.
Where'd that branch come from?
He says it was not a bad shot. He said it in the cabin and the interview after, and he said it in a way that just is so Spieth-y of him that, you know, it wasn't a bad shot. Like, very defensive of the shot.
This is a meta way of looking at it, but, you know, almost think of it as the way you think with putts, where... You have to hit your shot, you have to hit your putt, and whether it goes where you want it to or it goes in the hole, it doesn't matter. Did you make your shot? Yes. And I think that's what he was referring to. He didn't mishit it. He put it exactly where he wanted to.
Into a tree.
He didn't think it was going to take the trajectory. Didn't think that. I mean, from that far away, when you hit the ball as far as these guys do, you don't know necessarily if it's going to be perfect, but what you say to yourself, I'm going to hit it 1 foot right of that branch there, or I'm going to hit it right there, and it'll clear that last branch. And he hit it right where he wanted to, and it didn't clear the last branch.
Do you hear a lot of guys who hit a ball into the trees tell you after the fact that it was a good shot, though?
No, what you will hear is a lot of guys who miss a big putt, and they'll say, how about that putt on 18? They'll say, I rolled a good putt. This is a Dr. Joseph Parentism.
Well, the good news is that it's not a putt. So tell me about off the tee.
This is the tee shots. Same thing. He hit his shot. It didn't work out for him, but that's exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to take an aggressive line down the
left side. That's fine. You could tell the approach. My approach was good, and I took a chance, and it didn't work out.
And cut it back into the fairway and leave himself with the approach that he wanted from the distance that he wanted. Just hit a branch. I didn't think it would hit it. I thought it was fine.
Give me John Rahm.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah. But what you're saying,
give me John Rahm.
But what you're saying is not what he said.
So stupid.
He got very defensive of the questioning about the shot itself.
Like, how dare you?
Which at the end, I mean, after a fabulous day, I don't think anyone was expecting that.
I didn't expect
Jordan Spieth to hit the tree.
I don't think it's that bad of a comment. I think a lot of golfers, even at that high a level, will hit shots that end up in bad places or hit things that they're not supposed to, and they'll say the same thing. I hit a good shot there.
Yeah, you know? I don't like Spieth, but I understand what Hardy's saying.
Just
here.
The tone of it, though, was bad.
But this is my
tonality issue. Yeah, it's a tonality issue.
Poor delivery.
I get why people don't like him.
Yes,
I like him. I do, and I've told you that. I told you that on Friday. I like Jordan Spieth. I got no issues against him. But I do understand why it is that people don't like him.
Now, if it were, let's who snap hooked one off the tee? I think John Rahm. Yeah.
He wants to break the thing like stupid.
He had a bad stretch there for a couple of
you
holes.
You try and tell me that I put a good swing on the ball. I just overcooked it a little bit. Shut up. You did not. You know, these guys, they're not that dumb, and they're not going to think that anyone else is dumb enough to think that. But that particular shot that Spieth hit on 18, and by the way, his second shot out of the rough, what was he, 3-10 left? Had to take some kind of a lofted fairway mental out of there. I don't know if
like an Adams
five or something. Yeah, I mean, it was something. He crushed that thing and put himself in a good position. That would have been the best par of the tournament had he been able to make par from that spot. That would have been phenomenal.
He did not choke, by the way.
No.
Did not choke.
No.
As it has been suggested.
And I think his last putt, again, to kind of, you know, use Spieth's words again, I think he made his putt there. Just didn't go in the hole.
Of course, according to Spieth.
Right? You understand what I'm saying?
That I do. I think that's a little more understandable.
No, I don't understand that.
Hey, thank you.
That's like the Patriots saying they were in control of the game, but not the score. It's the Falcons in the
first
half.
Screw it.
Right?
Okay,
but here's the
give
thing. How'd that work out
just
for
give him? A birdie.
Jim, on the greens, though, when you're putting, there's a lot more that impacts your ball other than you hitting it. Off the tee, you hit it. That's it. It's not hitting the ground. It's not rolling on the ground. It's not being impacted by the speed of the greens or the how wet it might be if after a rainstorm like you got on Saturday. It's none of that. It's off your club, off that tee, and into the air.
Yeah,
it's more on you than it is anything else.
Listen, I know he said he didn't look at any leaderboards the whole time he was playing, but he had a great round. That last hole, he choked.
No, he didn't choke. He didn't choke.
Two
bad shots.
You've got to be in a position to win or lead, or you are leading, to choke. You've got to be ahead. You've got to be the leader to choke.
The putt on 18?
Really?
You've got to have it in hand.
Really?
Jim, the putt on 18, wasn't a bad shot. It was a slightly bad read. And that's what I mean when I said he made his putt. He read the putt. He saw what he thought it was going to do. He was convinced of it. He committed to it. He stroked the ball. It didn't fall that way. Now, you can accuse him of having a bad a tee shot that hit a limb, and maybe
but no
that one
on read though,
right? And maybe having a slightly bad read on that first putt on 18, but he didn't choke those two shots.
Having a five
the
shot
pressure was
fair.
Amped up. The pressure was amped up for him on that last hole, and he didn't execute.
He's chasing.
How do you explain that?
He's chasing. You know, having a five shot lead on Sunday 2 years ago and choking the way he did—that's a choke.
This is
not a choke.
This is going to sound crazy to you. He hit that tee shot exactly where he wanted to. He didn't think it was going to catch that branch. He thought he was going to have enough room to clear that branch and then cut back and land right in the fairway. He didn't choke. He did exactly what he wanted to do on that shot.
So mentally he choked then. He should have had a different approach, maybe a couple inches to the left.
Yeah, Matt, it was a bad decision, but he didn't choke.
Now it's a mental choke job. 617-779-0985. Moira calls are coming up, including what everybody was watching over the weekend, and really yesterday, specifically yesterday, the TV ratings for the Masters, the Red Sox, the Bruins, I'll tell you those, and also we'll talk Sox next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
Amica Insurance, great service, great coverage, and a great price for auto, home, and life insurance. Sweeping breaking ball that time off the outside part of the plate. 10 pitch at bat that time. The J.D. Martinez, but it ends up in a strikeout.
It'll bring up Brock Holt for the first time.
And I will always love you.
You want to go first on this? Sure. This is what Brock Holt is walking up to. How old is Brock Holt?
14?
I thought he was at least 17. He's 29. I thought he was younger than that.
I thought he was younger than that.
I would have said 23, 24, yeah.
So at least he remembers when this was a song. I mean, this was a massive hit. Massive hit.
Wait a second.
Bodyguard movie, right?
What do you mean? That's a good movie.
I mean, this song dominated when it came out.
One of Kevin Costner's better movies.
This is not a good walk-up song.
This is nonsense. Hey, Frank.
Absolute nonsense. You know what this is? Trying to be funny.
Oh, his name was Frank.
Okay.
Oh, it'd be so funny if I did that, huh? It's just stupid.
This song.
There you go. So I said it for you.
Okay.
Came out in 1992.
So what?
What year was Brock Holt born? 1998.
What?
Or 1988.
I'm sorry?
So what?
You think he remembers this as a thing in life?
No, but I'm sure he listens to it.
I remember that. What if I play a Beatles song? Just old enough to where I probably realize it. So I was 7. Yeah. But I remember that being a big thing that would be on TV and on radio nonstop.
What if I played a Beatles song? Like it was one of my favorites. That just because they were before me being born.
I'm just saying that as a personal connection to the song being a thing when you were alive. I don't know if Brock Holt.
Yeah, he doesn't. Okay. He did it to be funny.
All right. I've had up to about here like you guys have with Brock Holt, with the hair and the Brock Star stuff and that.
Oh.
I wouldn't say that's a song that's held up.
Ask anybody on this team if I should be on this team, you know?
You don't hear that one on the radio anymore. You don't hear people playing that one a lot.
You should. You know who wrote that song?
Berry Gordy.
I'm gonna say someone in country.
Yep.
It is a country song. That's
is
right.
it? Let me think. Can I have a minute?
It's not George Jones.
George Strait.
George Strait.
Nope.
Ah, damn.
That's
good. George. Good guess though, right?
It was George. Yeah.
Who was it?
Dolly Parton.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
She sings it. Elvis wanted to record it, and part of the deal when Elvis did a song was he got half of that song. You know, for the rest of
his
eternity.
His time.
And Dolly Parton said, no, I'm not going to do that. And they're like, what are you talking about? Elvis covers
He's the
your,
king.
Elvis covers your song.
Hey, well, hey,
and it's like, even if you give him half for the rest of your life, you know, that's you're going to be. And Dolly said, no, this song is going to take care of me for the rest of my life without Elvis ever having anything to do with it. And she was right.
Whitney's version was better.
Yes.
Now, if he came up to this version, that would be cool.
But,
no, it'd still be him trying to be a tool.
Hold on.
Here's what she said. I held on to it for all those years. People said, you're nuts. She said, I know. I should have let Elvis do it. And then when Whitney Houston's version came out, I made enough money to buy Graceland.
Like her.
I like her.
Dolly.
But back to Holt. It's risky.
Oh, that's right.
I respect it.
Talking about Brock Holt, sorry.
Don't really dig Holt, but respect the risk that you're taking walking out to this. Because you go out and you get fanned in 4 pitches, makes you look like the double the toll that you are.
So he was deciding between that song.
You see what I'm getting?
He was deciding between that Whitney song and another Whitney song that I feel has had a little bit of a resurgence. In part,
Martell's.
In part due to the Patriots, but I feel like this song is back on the radar a little bit.
Hey, yes, sure is.
Has like an old hit that's kind of making a second run with a younger generation.
I did an event Friday night.
This thing is
DJ,
back.
Really good DJ, rolled this out, song like number 10. Place went nuts. Is that Holt not having a grasp?
This
of,
I would get.
Yeah.
I'd feel you on this, Brock.
Makes you want to dance. So you can see Fenway getting into it too, you know? Hey, it's cold out. Let's get up and dance. Move around. Brock Stress.
Right up until that part. That's a problem. Takes you down energy-wise as the first verse starts.
You can play whatever part you want. You could edit it up. You could say, I want you to play it from this point on.
He's probably going to be hitting a lot more, too.
Well, this is the problem. Xander Bogaerts suffers an injury over the weekend. Yesterday, sliding into the Rays dugout, being reevaluated today.
12:30, and it's quiet.
There wasn't much of an update on the left ankle injury. He will be evaluated further. Cora, you could tell, didn't have much or didn't want to say much. You got Hanley Ramirez praying on Twitter with the praying emoji, hoping that X is okay. Hoping that X is good.
Double down.
You got Maz tweeting out, why am I worried about Xander Bogaerts' left Achilles? And all of this happens after Xander Bogaerts gets off to a monster start to the season. Wow, does that suck.
Don't forget the one Tony Maserati did have an Achilles rupture playing in a charity basketball game.
Oh, we remember that well.
And he has some medical connections probably with that injury.
With the doctors that repair such injuries or look at such injuries.
Or had concerns like, you know what, we think there might be a slight tear or a tiny stretch. Why don't you, what do you think, Doc? This mass tweet stuff, yes, he does. He does.
No,
troll.
You've got your
he
shortstop people. Batting 368 to start the year.
He's killing it.
He's got 7 doubles already. 9 RBI, which I know the stat geeks will tell you is a stupid stat. Don't pay attention to RBI. Well, I still do because I like it. He's on pace for 162 of them.
His exit velocity is very good this year.
He hit a ball on Saturday that I'm not sure has landed yet.
The Beetle wants cameras now.
I need new cameras behind the wall at Fenway to confirm a landing for those types of home runs. And so what happens now? Listen, I'm just guessing he goes on the DL. That's minimum best case scenario here. That it's 10 days, it's just a sprain, and he's back. But just the tone of it, I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried about this.
So he slid on the right. He slid on his right leg. That got up under it. Jim, you thought he may have gotten hurt on the slide initially? No. Or was that you, Beetle?
What's that?
Who thought that he may
I
have...
thought maybe something had happened while he was sliding before he landed in the dugout.
But the left foot looks up, and then that's the one it hits when he lands. I don't know. Hopefully he jammed his ankle.
The weird part is he walked out of the dugout looking fine, and then all of a sudden it got worse and worse and worse. And he stayed in the game. And then
he had to be helped off.
Right. At first he thought it was no big deal. By the time he was off the field, he couldn't walk. They were carrying him down those steps of the Red Sox dugout.
You rupture it. You basically can't get up.
But like typical ankle injury, if you can walk it off, you're good after you walk it off at that point. He walked it off, and then it got worse.
Yeah, it got worse. Which is, you wonder, like, is that where Maz got his idea about the Achilles? Is that what happens?
That's kind of just
like
really,
you think, oh, I'm okay, and then left. You get up and it's, you know? It just snapped on me. It just rolled up like a shade.
I mean, you think an ankle, you think a knee at that point, all that, and then Maz just throws this Achilles bomb.
Well, listen.
Maz bomb. They call them Woj bombs. That's a Maz bomb. When's Maz gotten something medical wrong?
Well, see, he's not reporting anything, though.
He's
just
really
asking.
Not.
He's asking a question.
You get that thinking emoji.
Let's get the question.
The Jones.
Yes. So what happens if he goes to DL? Then you're going to see probably Zue Lin called up. Because defensively, you're going to start Brock Holt every day?
For a series, you can.
You got Nunez, Holt. You could bring up Lynn. That gives you utility infielders to sort of fill the void. But the bat.
That's why they should have kept Devin Marrero and traded Brock Holt or gotten rid of Brock Holt.
By the way,
Jim, if you ask
none of those
team.
Options, but Lynn's good defensively. None of those options are as good as having Xander Bogaerts defensively either. Devin Marrero wouldn't have been either.
Yeah, Marrero's better defender than Bogaerts. Absolutely.
Yeah, about the same. You think he's that much better?
I think Marrero is like a gold glove type defender.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of defense on the left side of the infield, how do you think my guy Devers has looked so far this year? I think he is quietly under the radar being pretty damn good defensively.
I think he's a pretty good player.
For all the people that were bashing him before the season even began about how bad the defense would be at third, I have seen no issues over there yet. Have you?
Not yet.
I haven't seen those yet. I'm so in love with that player. I love that freaking
kid. I know you do.
Oh, my God. Now,
it doesn't have the body type that you think would allow
him
to be.
Bogart. It's his new Bogarts.
It's his
new Bogarts.
It's part of it.
It's your new Bogarts. Bogarts disappointed you.
He is nimble.
He hits the ball. I've said this. So hard.
So
and his swing is a little bit violent. It's a little bit on the violent side.
Yes.
But he is going to kill somebody.
Thursday. Told you that Thursday.
I mean,
came off his bat.
I would be afraid if I were throwing pitches to this guy, Hardy. I would be instantly terrified that he is going to hit that ball back at me and kill me. Just kill me. Hit me in a way that you drop dead on the mound.
Where is he ranking exit velocity?
He's going to have a kill shot he's done playing. There's going to be a kill shot in there somewhere guy.
Flat.
Good thing they extended the nets for this guy because you need it.
Oh.
You need it for him.
Net guy back.
It's good. You're saving lives because Devers hits the ball so hard, and he swings at everything. I mean, he is ready to hit, ready to go, wants to put the bat on the ball. I love him. I love him so much. I love Rafael Devers. I love you, Rafi. Love you. 617-779-0985. Back to your calls after headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins wrapped up their regular season last night with a loss to the Panthers 4-2. Now, that means they will take on the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round of the playoffs, starting on Thursday night. Zdeno Chara.
Playoff hockey is a heart-filled hockey, so for sure it's a new season starting.
That's right. New season starts on Thursday for the Bruins, Maple Leafs, game one of the best of seven. Celtics fell to the Hawks at the Garden. Tomorrow they will visit the Wizards. Red Sox over the Rays 8-7 yesterday. Yankees come to town tomorrow night. And Patrick Reed, your Masters champion, finished the tournament 15 under par, one stroke ahead of Ricky Fowler and two clear of Jordan Spieth, who did shot a 64 in his final round. Headlines are brought to you by D'Amico Dental Care in Watertown. Tony Maz's dentist. He utilizes 3D technology to replace broken or missing teeth. If you need a dental implant, visit D'AmicoDMD.com today. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand on this Monday. Chris is in Middleborough. Comment line says Spieth is the Tuukka Rask of golf. Chris.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good analogy, guys, or if it's maybe just coincidence, but you guys were talking about Spieth saying that he hit a lot of shots that he couldn't believe that didn't go in. And I have heard all year long Tuukka Rask say he after a loss where he would give up three goals, four goals, or maybe even more, where he said he thought he played a good game. So I don't know if that's maybe just today's athlete where they can't believe that they think they've done nothing wrong, where they think they've played well and just can't believe that that something didn't go their way or what. But, again, I don't know if that's analogous or if it's coincidence or,
I think it's, you know. I think it's different. I mean, we played Rask last week, and I think he was more – it was pulling your chain, yanking your chain. It was like kind of a condescending comment back, you know. Yeah, I thought I played pretty good. Okay, on to the next question.
What is
Spieth believes that he hit a good shot.
Guess what? Spieth did hit good shot after good shot after good shot yesterday. He almost set the course record.
Yeah, Spieth played well. It's just about that hole that's in question. That's
he played way better than 90% of the field yesterday. He did play. He had the best score of the day. There were only a couple of guys within a stroke or two of the 64 that he put up. So when he says, yeah, I think I played really well, he did yesterday. You want to talk about Friday and Saturday rounds? Okay, that's different. He jumped out to an early lead on Thursday, and he kind of, he tripled the first hole on Friday, and that kind of that ruined his chances of being able to put the thing away early. But you can't take anything away from Spieth's round yesterday. That's being obnoxiously nitpicking.
Jim.
No, not just Jim.
Jim talked about one.
I understand Jim's frustration with somebody hitting.
He needed that.
If you ask me if Spieth played well yesterday, I say yes. He played well yesterday. He played really well yesterday.
Jim thinks he choked on 18.
I say
it wasn't a choke. I think he did what he executed pretty much on four of his five shots on the 18th hole yesterday. The one that he didn't execute was the first putt on 18. The branch did not cooperate with him.
So it was like David Price when he throws a good pitch, but the hitter doesn't cooperate with him?
Well, no, that's a hitter's...
Threw the pitch I wanted to hit, pitch?
That lumber is moving. The branch was static. He thought he was going to clear it. He didn't.
Well, the bleeper came out of nowhere.
I'm telling you, he hit that right where he wanted to. That's why he was shocked. Like, I can't believe it. These guys go through trees, over trees, stuff all the time.
I understand what Jim's saying on the putt, though. He missed the putt to really put pressure on him on that last hole.
He really wasn't even about the trees.
He teed off with a two-shot lead.
He made that back, and then he was putting for par.
Didn't he tee off with a two-shot lead on 18?
He made his putt, Jim. It just didn't go in. It's very difficult for you to wrap your head around.
It is.
You'd think I would.
I understand what you're both saying.
You'd think I was the Spieth fan in this.
Jim, it's a golf thing you don't get.
Oh, you're not a Spieth fan? I'm being serious. You sound like you're a major Spieth fan today.
No. I'm a fan of the way he played yesterday. I'm not even a fan of the way he played 18. You want an example of, and I've had like good golfers, like pro golfers tell me I'm an idiot for this one. But Dustin Johnson, U.S. Open a few years ago, he has two putts to win the thing, right? He's above the hole on the 72nd hole. He knocks the putt 4 feet past. To me, bonehead choke job. And I love Dustin. And again, here's to show you how weird I am. I love Dustin Johnson. He's one of these flawed guys with some personality that I find easy to root for. Yeah, this guy isn't a robot. I mean, it's Paulina Gretzky, but his wife, girlfriend, whatever the hell she is. No. Dustin Johnson doing God knows what, falling down the stairs at the Masters last year.
Ooh, I fell.
Slippery wood. Sure, whatever, DJ. What do you want to say? Guy's got issues. I like him for it.
He wears socks inside?
That putt that he had at, I think it was at Chambers Bay to win the U.S. Open, that he knocked way past his eagle putt that he put way past the hole. Like, what are you doing? You breathe on that thing. You cozy it up next to the hole. You tap in your birdie and you take the win. Steady three jacked it.
Do you believe that Spieth when he says he didn't look at the leaderboard the entire day?
He kept looking back.
No, there's one place where you can't help but see it. I think it's at 11.
Do you think he knew at 18 that he had a little bit more pressure on him? Because if he at least parred it, he would have been only one shot off the lead, and then it would have put the pressure on Reed.
I think if he wasn't looking at the leaderboard at every opportunity, I believe that. I think some of those guys don't. I think there's one at 11 that it's almost impossible to not see. It's
like I think he knew at the tee that, okay, if I make par here, I'm only one shot off, and now the pressure's on him.
Well, you probably can tell a lot just by the way the crowd is reacting to you. You don't get those kinds of crowds cheering that way. Yeah, he knew what was on the line, sure.
And he didn't make the putt that he needed to make.
He did not make the putt on 18. That's right. No, he did make the putt. It just didn't go in.
It's like the golf club.
There's a book called
This is a Showdown.
It is
brilliant.
There's a book called How to Make Every Putt. And the author's name is Dr. Joseph Parent, and I had him on. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? He goes, well, you gotta define what you mean when you say whether or not you make a putt. Now you can make
it go in the hole.
You can make a putt and not have it go in. You can have putts go in that you didn't make.
Bogeyed it, Jim.
That to me makes sense. Putting makes sense, and to a degree it makes sense. when you're off the tee. I just don't hear a lot of guys, you know, so defensive of how good their shot was when it hit a tree. Yeah. That's all. I mean, Hardy, this sort
tough
of
to wrap your head this, around, Beetle.
No,
I agree.
I mean, this sort of goes back to like, you know, win, like right, the way you get upset with Al Horford defenders when he does the little things.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, really?
You don't understand basketball.
I guess I don't understand it.
You're a Cal Draper.
I don't understand the need to get so defensive about your shots when you hit the tree.
He's a five-time All-Star.
And I'm not saying you choked. I'm not on that
tree,
side of it. I'm just
tree
like,
tree wasn't supposed to be there.
That sucks. That happens.
Wasn't supposed to be there.
That's also a tough... That's a tough shot there, Hardy, is it not?
Oh, that tee shot on 18?
Yeah.
So I talked to...
Remember Bubba, when as a lefty, right? Remember all the rage about how much he was at an advantage there as a lefty, shooting off the tee on 18. They're like, what? I get it. It's a tough shot. It's hard.
I talked to the Brockton firefighter, Matt Parziali, again this morning. He'll be on the golf show later this week. And he was talking about it. He missed the cut, but he played a great final six holes on Friday to end his Masters experience. He eagled 13 and then he parred in, and we talked a little bit about
good finish.
Great way to finish off his time.
He won't forget that.
No. And I asked him about that tee shot in 18. He's like, it's just so tough. You know, your stand, they've pushed it so far back now over the years, and you've just got, you know, if you want to cut the ball, you have to do what Jordan did. If you draw the ball, there's hardly any room to start it down the right-hand side, and you're going to end up, you're going to flirt with those bunkers out there, long and left. He's, you know, it is one of the more difficult. He said, now, once you get through there, he said, the hole's not that difficult in terms of length and the way the green plays and, you know, for what they do for pin placements. He's like, it's not hard, but the tee shot, yes, intimidating.
Hey, our guy was getting chirped a little bit yesterday on Twitter.
Who was that?
By Countertop Boy. Hardy was.
Please.
Should we go through some of those back and forth?
Do you really want to get? Do you want to give that guy some more time?
No, I don't.
He already told me that I made his day.
He's such a beaut. I kind of want to, but I don't because I think we could create a monster. I don't want to do that.
No,
I didn't give you those TV ratings. I will do that next. Nice. Also want to remind you to enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack. But that was all he missed. And he ain't coming back.
Okay, here are the TV ratings from yesterday. Masters, 8.14. Red Sox, 7.16. Bruins, 5.53. Everybody in that list did well. I like them apples.
Sorry. It's about how I would rank them 1, 2, 3.
I'm leaving the Celtics out of that. Because, well, it ain't about the Celtics anymore.
Right. until the games get going. And I heard Toucher and Rich this morning. Rich replayed something from Cedric Maxwell on TV. I think he was on The Late Show last night. Yeah. And Max thinks they could beat Cleveland this year in a series.
Good for Max.
With coaching and the team that they have.
Okay. Well, he's in the minority on that thing.
Yeah.
He's also a team broadcaster. We don't trust those.
But he's pretty down to me. He's not like, remember when Gorman picked him at 6 over the Cavs like 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Max, like, you ain't beating LeBron. I think Max has always been, you're not beating LeBron. Max feels this is not LeBron's year. I think you got to get into these games and see how the first two goes, and you kind of reassess yourself then.
Yeah, Celtics didn't do a great number yesterday.
You shouldn't. I mean, come on. Distant fourth billing yesterday.
Yeah, far behind. But just in terms of how the two afternoon things did, Red Sox and Masters, that's a lot of people hanging around on a Sunday, flipping between those two or watching one or the other. That's a lot of people indoors here in Boston. Those are Boston numbers. Watching TV yesterday.
Locally, you should have been on your couch having your finger on that back button so you're going back and forth. Love the new Xfinity setup, though. Just pull up last channels. Got 5 of them right across the board.
5? Boom, boom, there's boom. Like 10 of them.
10 of them, whatever. Yeah.
There's a million on the screen.
It's a nice little thing. Nice little thing I got going on here.
I think yesterday's Masters can be good for at least the season, if not more, because I felt yesterday there were enough guys in the mix, and there was enough of a storyline there, Hardy, yeah, to get people to watch, and clearly the TV numbers reflect that, to watch and be engaged and not have it be... I know Spieth was a big part of it, but Rory wasn't.
Part of it.
Tiger wasn't. Phil wasn't.
If Spieth didn't make that run like he made yesterday, do you get that kind of number?
Nope.
See, that's
no.
Spieth is a story.
And that
as
speaks,
much as I dislike
and that speaks
Spieth.
To the power of Jordan Spieth,
yeah,
and how he
credit
deserves,
him.
He deserves more credit than what he gets.
Correct.
And to a certain extent, Ricky Fowler. People love Ricky.
I think that kept you right until the end. And
yeah,
by the way, it was over by what time?
I said I can't remember the last time the Masters telecast on a, and I didn't say on a Sunday, which I swear to God, it was one of those weekends where I just wanted to quit Twitter. I really did.
Oh, I've started
a couple
to get
of times.
There, yeah, myself.
Yeah. It's like I said something like, biggest upset is this broadcast is over before 7 o'clock. When's the last time that happened? People, yesterday, idiot. My apologies. I meant on a Sunday of the final round. And by the way, seriously, just shut up. If all you have to say is just stupid garbage, you know, just dumbasses. I don't mind having different opinions, but if you're too freaking dumb to talk to, don't talk to me. Just leave me alone. Go talk to other dumb people, and you guys could just beat each other in the heads with baseball bats until you're all leaving bloody and dying. And quit using up oxygen. Having said that, the thing was over quick. The leaders played in 4 hours. That's a quick round of golf for,
yeah,
you and I to go out and play just on a... Think you and I can go play once the courses open up on 4 hours on a Sunday?
Nope.
Without having the Masters
you
online?
You can't play in five.
Sorry. There's no way.
You can't play in five on
these
a Sunday.
These guys played a final round of the Masters in 4 hours. They put the green jacket on and 60 minutes...
Was on time.
They teed off at 2:40 p.m., 60 minutes started after the presentation, everything else, 7 o'clock. They were done. Put the bow on the thing.
We joke about some of them, though. Remember some of the ones where they had some bad weather, and it would stretch to where things started to get a little dark because of the weather with the course, and, like, I don't know if we have enough light. And there were jokes where, like, the old Bagger Vance one where they had the cars out there with the headlights.
Not a true story.
Pushing 7:30? No. Yeah.
No, there's been times where you think they're not going to be able to finish this. They really shouldn't be playing. It changes the playing field. Now you're forcing guys to play in relative darkness where other guys before them could see everything just fine. It's not a level playing field. Wasn't a problem yesterday.
John is in Vermont. He wanted to touch on Xander Bogaerts' injury. Hi, John.
How you guys doing? Speaking of stupidity, JD Martinez plays that carom off the wall like an idiot. All right, he chases the ball. He bounces the throw from left field to third base. All right, so that's why Devers leaves third base. So when Xander flips the ball, Devers is backing up JD's crappy throw. And then the ball rolls to the dugout. It hits a post on the dugout. So there's really no reason for Xander to have even run over there because it was going to hit the fence. And, you know, then he slides and, I don't know, he walked out and was fine until he got back to shortstop. And then all of a sudden it was as if he got shot. But I have to wonder if, you know, you have a left fielder out there who maybe is supposed to be out there. Maybe if he doesn't botch the carom off the wall, he doesn't bounce a throw from third plate, from left field to third base, which is, you know, hardly a, you know, exactly need Ichiro out there to make that throw. And then, you know, I just don't know why everybody's, you know, not a little bit more up in arms about this. I mean, the morning update, they were calling it an errant relay throw. It's not an errant relay if you're throwing to the base directly.
Wait, what update? Wait, where? Where was that being said?
Was that Wallach?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he writes those things, but...
Oh, he writes.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, that's his.
No, that's all his writing.
Ooh, this is a hot take.
It is. All right, well... You know, I like the guy. I'm not, you know, I'm calling a dump on him, but, you know.
No. I think the question is, what's the learning curve? What's the timeline on learning how to play left field at Fenway?
Well, it would just must be irony of all ironies.
I was far. Hot take. Really JD Martinez is responsible for Xander Bogaerts' injury.
Yeah, I mean, what? I mean, what do you think? What's a reasonable amount of time for somebody to learn how to play left field? We've seen other guys take to it quickly. What was the story on Manny for years? That, you know what?
Oh, he had it down after.
Okay, for as big a goofball as he was, he actually worked at being able to play that position.
Couple of things here. Number one, and John, thank you for the call. Good call. The playing it off the wall, he didn't even really need to play it off the wall. It really wasn't high up off. It felt to me like it was going to hit him. I thought the ball nearly did hit J.D. Martinez on the play. So
he was obviously concerned about the wall. He was concerned with running into the wall.
Okay, let me finish.
Wow.
He's hot today.
It's like angry.
I would say that reflects even worse. That looks even worse for J.D. Martinez. This was not some high, you know,
ball. You're saying he should have caught it.
It was not one that scraped the wall 20 feet off the ground. It looked like it landed and may have scraped the wall 5 feet off the ground. I thought it was going to hit him.
How tall is he?
Because he didn't pay attention.
2.5 feet tall?
And yes, Jim, he obviously is in that position, but he got completely twisted around. He turned his back to the line and then completely did a 180 and turned the other direction.
Well, look at his foot. He
botched the entire play. He did. He sucked on the play. The second part about Xander Bogaerts chasing the ball down, okay, did it hit the post? Would it have gone in? No, but it was close to the opening. It was close to the opening of the dugout where the managers stand that is closest to home plate. And he's got a guy on the bases at that point who then would have scored if the ball goes into the dugout. He's trying to save a run there.
Right.
I'm not going to fault him for running after that ball. It was not an Aaron Relay throw, though. That was a throw to no one. That was like the drive to nowhere.
It was like Manny. Remember Manny?
The toss to no one.
Who did Manny hit? Damon like 10-foot cutoff?
I'm not convinced he was trying to throw it.
He look where his left foot steps.
If he was trying to, I'm not talking about J.D. Martinez. I'm talking about Bogaerts. I'm not convinced. Either it fell out of his glove or he was trying to like swipe tag or something there. I'm not 100% convinced he was trying to throw it.
I think Martinez could have caught the damn ball if he had had a good break on it. So he didn't. Maybe. Yeah, it feels to me like he's trying to scoop it, Jim. It feels to me like he turned and was going to scoop it to third base. On a foot throw.
I can see it. I'm just not Jeter. I'm not 100%
convinced. Jeter's
his
idol. So he's trying to do a Jeter type of thing there.
Didn't Jeter do that with his hand, though? Not the glove?
That's something Jeter would have done, though. Flip with the glove instead of ever doing it.
That's something like a Vizquel, double play at second base. Flip with the glove.
Flip with the glove. But he's trying to save a run. The point does stand, though. Maybe if J.D. Martinez just had a better grip on playing the wall. This doesn't happen, and hopefully that doesn't happen come June, right? A couple months into the season, a couple months of playing that wall.
I think that's why he turned his back. He was camped under it like he was catching a routine fly ball, and all of a sudden, like, oh, the wall's there.
Yeah, he put out his arm, though, and it looked like the ball was going to come down and hit him in the arm because he put out his arm to brace against the wall. 617-779-0985. Fourth and final hour on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.